was in, I think it was junior high. A couple years ago, I'd switched to a Christian school. And one of the projects they had us do was, I think it was for a month, I'm not positive on that, but in science class, they had us go out and look at the stars. And they had a project where you had to find different constellations and learn the constellations. Not because they wanted us to get into astrology. In fact, they didn't want us to get into astrology. Astronomy, maybe, which I do still enjoy. But because they wanted us to see the majesty and glory of God. Now, we lived in the cities. So we saw very few stars. It's a cool project, I think, I hope. But it made a lasting impression on my life. Because I was forced, is one way of looking at it, although I don't know if I would have put it that way. But I was instructed to go out at night and behold the glory of God. And to my wonder and amazement, God brings me to International Falls. I'm sorry, but the middle of nowhere, okay? You guys know it. You love it. It's okay. It's not a problem. And then moves me out to Little Fork and Ray. And what do I get to enjoy? The majesty and wonder of God. I get to spend the nights looking out at the stars. Man, there are a lot of stars. You wouldn't know it from the city, but there are a lot of stars. And it was from those beginning foundations that I gathered, that I got the appreciation for being out and adoring God at night. Heather and I were able to pick up an app a few years ago that allowed us to go out and see where these constellations were and see what God had created, what God had placed in the sky for us. One of the other things out of my childhood was one summer, and I don't know which summer it was, but one summer for the children's class, we learned Psalm 8. They actually had us memorize Psalm 8. It's a very short psalm, so turn there if you will. It's 9 verses. And so each week, they would teach us a new verse. And we'd say it, and they'd have hand motions. I'll try to refrain from doing the hand motions up here as we read it. But if I fall into that brainless thing, that's okay. You know, okay, if I'm doing this number, that was our hand motion for Avenger, okay. I'm still the Avenger. That's when you read this, that was our hand motion. I'm not trying to do anything weird, okay? So, we learned this passage, and it was kind of through both of these, the connection of these, that heightened my love and appreciation for these. So God then moved us to the big city of International Falls from Ray. We moved here, so I don't get to go out and adore the sky as often as I would like. But what a joy it is for Heather and I to get out and do that when we have the opportunity. One of the things we keep talking about doing is actually grabbing a telescope, buying one, and heading out somewhere, either to someone's property. We may come and knock on. If you have lots of land, we might show up on your doorstep one night. Just saying, okay? Just a warning. But being able to go out and adore God that way. So Psalm 8. We're going to be looking at Psalm 8 here. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. While I speak, you're going to notice on this screen, about every minute or so, images of the heavens that God has created for us. These are images that I was able to find easily online, so they're images, actually they're all in the same album on space.org. The 2017's best photos is what they titled it as. So if you want to go back and find many of these, they're there. As we look at this passage, I'm going to kind of try to break it down for you here in the next half hour. It was written to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. Okay, that's your heading. Gittith, what does that mean? Well, it could mean a number of things. Gittith could actually be an instrument that was a joyful sounding instrument. That could be one definition of it. Gittith could also be a joyful tune. Maybe that might have been a name for it. Gittith could also just mean joyously. The idea is joy. Okay, we don't really know what Gittith really means, other than it's attached to the idea of joyfulness, a joyful sound. Because there are other psalms that use the same heading, and all of them point to that joyousness as we adore God. So that is the heading here. As we jump into it, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Excellent here. Excellent is actually translated in a couple different translations as majestic. How majestic is thy name in all the earth? And I think that's a little more fitting for us today. Excellent is good, but to me, majestic points to the grandeur of who God is and what he's created. And as we go through the Psalm of David, as we go through what he's written, we're going to see the excellence and majesticness of God. And he is going to potentially of Bethlehem. I don't know where he's writing this from. Some surmise that he might be in the. I think he's king already. But some surmise he might be thinking back the time. Can you imagine him as a shepherd, right, in the field looking out? You would see some pretty amazing things that way. And I can imagine him writing and thinking of those days when he was in the field watching his sheep. How majestic is thy name? How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. As you look at the word ordained here, other translations put it established or made a foundation from. So the Lord, God, ruler of heaven and earth, has established his glory. And specifically in this passage, has established his glory in the heavens. And we're going to kind of see a dichotomy here as we transition through this passage. But in this specific instance, has established his glory in the heavens. And then he's chosen the weak things of the world, the mouth of babes and sucklings, to lay a foundation of strength. We might not understand it, but he has. To lay a foundation of strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And then we come to one of my favorite parts of this psalm here. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. If you look at ordained here, it's actually a different Hebrew word. This one means set in place. Heather and I have been kind of doing a little spring cleaning. And we have to choose very carefully where we want certain things, right? We very specifically ordain where certain things are going to go in our house. Why? Because we want to make sure we remember where it is. Honey, where did you put the guitar tuner? I have no clue where I put that guitar tuner. It's somewhere in the house, I assume. Okay? But we also want to make sure it's all in order. Same idea here. God very specifically placed all of what you're seeing here. Can you imagine God placing these things, ordained these things? When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. And then the question, what is man? What is man? And if you were to look at these photos, and if you were to read this passage, and if you were like me, your thoughts are, I am a puny nothing, right? I'm a speck of dirt. That's all I am. In the fabric of what we see here, I don't compare. And if you stop this passage, if you stop right there this passage, that's probably what you would get, was, I'm nothing. Absolutely nothing. And yet, David brings out the wonder. What is man that thou art mindful of him? That he cares for us. Why would God care for anything so unworthy? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Mindful can be translated here, take thought of. Take thought of. God takes thought of you and of me. There's all this creation that he's in charge of, and God takes thought of you and of me. Let that sink in. That when we go out and view his majesty, the very pinnacle of his creation is not the moon and stars, even though we may look at them and think, wow. You are the pinnacle of his creation. It is of you that he takes thought of. It is of you that he has sent his son to die on the cross. And whether this is a psalm of an allusion towards that, whether it's a prophecy psalm, we don't know. It's not clear in this passage. Or whether this is just a psalm of David, God actually saying that thou visitest him, that you come and consider him, that you take thought of him, that you have come amongst him. It's clear that God cares for those that are created in his image bearers. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. The King James translates that angels. There is another couple other translations who actually translate it God. Thou hast made him a little lower than God. And the word can be used as angels, can be translated angels, can be translated God, can be translated heavenly beings. So depends on how you want to translate it there. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels is what we have here. And hast crowned him with glory and honor. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like I deserve the crowning of glory and honor. Why? Because I'm a sinful soul.
Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas.
And while the Lord has dominion of all of creation, and while the heavens are his
dominion, if you will, again, we're going to use that term here.
He has given man the opportunity, the privilege of telling forth his praises on earth. Because from the heavens, what tells forth his praises? The stars, right? His handiwork. That's the point of the psalmist here. From the heavens, that's what glorifies him in the heavens. Is the stars that we see, the moon and the stars.
specifically in this passage. But from the earth, while his creation may glorify him in some senses, you, his creation, get the opportunity to glorify him more than anything else in his creation. And so I ask you first here, how are you filling that role? Are you living a life? Are you walking the walk? Are you talking the talk? Are you living the life that you should be to glorify God? Or are you just putting in the Sundays and the rest of the week is what you want it to be? Because it is through you, most specifically, that God brings glory to himself. Why does he choose sinful man? I don't know. I don't get it. There are some days I feel like a mountain would be better than me. But God has specifically chosen us to glorify him, to bring glory to him. Departing from this thought for a moment, I want to bring up something else in this passage that I find fascinating. I love science. I enjoy science. And in science class, you learn, and at least in my Christian studies, I learned that very often certain scientific discoveries happened because men or women were reading the Bible and believed what God said and said, it must be true, therefore, let's figure out how it's true. Prime example, not from this passage, the fact that that space is actually spreading out. The stars, the heavens, everything is actually spreading out. Man didn't believe it. Man just said, whatever. They kind of glossed over that text when they read it. And finally someone came along and said, no, I believe it. And all of a sudden they started doing mathematics and doing all the study. Sure enough, the heavens were actually spreading out. God said it, and it was true. Imagine that. Well, in this passage, we have another one of those instances. Matthew, I don't even want to pronounce his middle name, Fontaine, I think is how you pronounce it, Maury, M-A-U-R-Y is how you spell the last name, lived in the 1800s. And is now known for his oceanography. He was sick sometime before the Civil War because he took part in the Civil War. He was sick. And he asked one of his daughters to get the Bible and read to him. That daughter opened up to Psalm 8 and begins to read. And she gets to the 8th verse and reads, "The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." And he repeated, "The paths of the sea. The paths of the sea." If God says the paths of the sea, they are there. And if I ever get out of this bed, I will find them. Guess what he did? He found them. In fact, he produced multiple texts that are still standard today that people use when they are doing trading across the sea, that used the sea lanes. If you hear about those things, that's from him. And a couple different theories about open water in the, I believe it was the Arctic is what I was reading. That's from him as well. A lot of the readings that they have from these paths of the sea and stuff, that's from this guy as well. All because he said, if God said it, I believe it, and so it's true. And so I come to a second question. If God says it, do you believe it? If you read in God's word, and you see a command for you, or a promise for you, or a truth of what he's done, do you believe it? Or do you just say, I don't know. Sounds good. Sounds too good to be true. We have God's word. We have this gift. And if we're not reading it to believe it, we're wasting our time. Let's move on. Verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I find it ironic and fitting that the psalmist ends the way he begins.
Why? Because he's just reflected on the majesty of God
here. In the heavens, right? And then move from the majesty of God in the heavens to the exalted nature of man that God has given him, to the pinnacle of God's creation. And he finishes with the idea of the majesty of God.
One of the commentaries I was reading said that this passage, the main idea is the God, whose glory the heavens reflect, has also glorified himself in the earth and in man.
Whose glory the heavens reflect. I don't know if I will ever do, in my estimation, as good of a job as the stars and the moon does of reflecting the majesty and power of God, but I hope to. I hope the words I say and the actions that I do reflect his majesty and his glory. But the only way that that will happen is that I daily adore him. That I come to his word and read who he is and fall on my face in front of the majestic God that we serve. That I look around me and see not this wonderful nature that continues by happenstance, but that I look around me and see the wonderful handiwork of God and see how he moves in all of his creation. One of my favorite songs, I have lots of them, surprise, surprise, is "This Is My Father's World." This is my Father's world, and to my listening ear, all nature sings and round me rings. Finish it with me. The music of the spheres. You get to behold that on a daily basis. You get to behold the majesty and the grandeur of God. The psalmist presents us with a couple ideas. First, he presents us with God's loftiness. God is far above anything we can imagine, isn't he? We can never fully comprehend who he is. We can see his handiwork. But praise God that we can never fully grasp him. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God that we can never fully grasp? That you will always be constantly searching out the depth of who he is. You will be, like Mr. Murray, sounding the deep of the God you serve. We also find in this passage man's lowliness. And not for us to forget, because the psalmist does bring out the exalted state that God has placed man in over his created works. But man is lowly, isn't he? While some have interpreted verse 2 here, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Some have interpreted the mouth of babes and sucklings just to say weak things. I tend to actually think it means the mouth of babes and sucklings. The Hebrew word here means a toddler who can speak. You know, have you ever taken a kid out at night and let him actually see the stars? What does he do? Oh, Dad, look at that! Dad, can you see all those? Look how big the moon is! Have you lost that wonder? Have you lost that glint in your eye as you look at God's creation? I hope to never lose that wonder. God, look at what you have created. Look at your majesty and your grandeur. I hope to also not lose my lowliness
God, what is man? What am I? What am I that you should love me? What am I that you should take the weak things of the world to confound the wise?
As a child,
we adore him. Man's lowliness. He also brings to light God's condescension. And we kind of already touched on this here, as we said, you know, this may be a prophetical psalm. It may be actually referring to the Son of Man coming as Jesus Christ to this earth to be incarnated and born of a virgin and live a sinless life and die on the cross for our sins and rise again. That may be what the psalmist is referring to here. But the psalmist may also just be referring to the fact that God thinks about, that God is among his people. I tend to like to lean towards the first, to think that maybe David was given a glimmer, a thought, an idea of what God had in store for humankind, for mankind. The gift of eternal life through the visitation of God to man.
We can see his condescension even in his creation, because nature is his very canvas.
But if nature is his very canvas, man is his very reflection. And as you are the reflection of God, it should be your goal to reflect him as best as you can. Another commentary I read kind of describes that process this way. So often does the thought, what is mortal man, increase in power and intensity. The most natural thought would be frail. Puny man is as nothing before all this. But this thought is passed over in order to celebrate the grateful emotion and astonished adoration, the divine love which appears in all the more glorious light, a love which condescends to poor man,
the dust of the earth. What is more glorious than the stars that you look at up here? It is the love of God that is given to God's pinnacle creation.
If we with ink the oceans filled, or were the skies of parchment made, where every stock on earth, a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is your message. That is the glory that you get to tell to others. Human beings are tiny specks in the scales of creation, yet we are the supreme object of God's compassion. And so as we look at that, what is our response to be? We've already described the first one that I want to say. We are to be in awe, just like a little child, of who God is and what he's done. I'm going to give you a little homework this week. Hope you like homework. I hate homework, but I'm still going to give it to you. I'm going to try to do it myself. And it's going to be fairly practical. This week, one night, because we're not freezing at nights like crazy, like negative 50. Take time to go out and look up and just adore God for what he's done, for who he is and what he's created. Don't miss that opportunity that you get every night.
Number two, we're to stand in humble adoration of his majesty.
I find in this passage also
some very stark contrasts. I find that where man's dominion is finite, God's dominion is infinite. Where man's capabilities are exhaustible, God is omnipotent. Where man's creative capacity is limited, God is creator of it all. And we could go on, couldn't we? And I hope you do go on in your own life and take the time to adore God, because that is the call of this psalm. Albeit a simple one, it is a profound one, that we should be adoring him constantly, that we should be fixed on that ever-present mark. Heavenly Father, as we behold your creation, as we look at the skies at night and see what you have made with your fingers, with your hands, we stand in awe of you. And may we, like children, forever hold on to the wonder. And yet, as we remember, as we see, as we contemplate the majesty before us, may we not forget, help us not to forget, the love shown towards us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to spread that love. As we approach Easter, Lord, may we invite our coworkers, may we tell others of your greatness, and we give them the gospel, for it means more than all of nature combined. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live lives that reflect you to the best of our capacity, that we put away self, and that we would strive to glorify you in all that we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.